Well, when I first was working on the bulletins, I thought that maybe the sermon title would be Treasure Boxes. And then I remembered. I remembered my house in Stella, which was really a small house. And I remembered the times that we loaded up the wagon and carried the stuff to the local Goodwill shop, trip after trip after trip after trip after trip. So I thought, no, it's not treasure boxes, it's treasure barns. And to think about the industry that we have today for storage, aren't there multi-storied storage buildings for us to store our stuff away from our homes? We seem to be people who do an awful lot of collecting of stuff. In the New Common English Bible, it doesn't say the things I'm trying to find there. Oh, so it is with those of you who store up treasures for themselves. In the Common English translation, it says, so it is with those of you who hoard your stuff. Hoard. We understand that word. I bet all of us had images that we've seen in the news or seen in our community of people who hoarded stuff. And we could get lost in that kind of understanding of what it means to gather possessions. But I want us to think for a moment as we listen to Darlene speak of the things that Paul was talking about that are sins within our lives. And yeah, we can hoard stuff, but we can also hoard things like hate, can't we? Can't we just make that a treasure that we want to just hold on to? And can't we gather hate to us like other people gather Christmas decorations? You know, can't we gather things in our heart and hold on to them as if they were the treasures from heaven? Have you gathered greed? Have you wanted that which someone else had so badly that you continue to seek it out and get it from them? Can we gather things like lying? Can lying multiply to the point that we might need a barn to hold every lie we've told? The things of the heart can be as much of a thing that we gather in and hold and store as if it's a treasure. I want you to think about that. When you have decided that someone has hurt you and hurt you to the core, hurt your life, hurt your heart, hurt everything about you, don't you kind of treasure that pain? You treasure the pain so much that you have to tell everybody about the person who hurt you, about that harm done to you, and suddenly that harm becomes everything that you focus on. And then that person becomes the one that is the evil one, and you share that news all over the place so that you spread hate, you spread anger, you spread frustration such that you are holding and hoarding in your heart unforgiveness. So there are other treasures besides money, besides land, beside food, beside clothing that we can gather up and hold on to and think that they are more valuable to our lives than the life of Jesus Christ, that are more valuable to our hearts than having a heart of love for God and for our neighbor, that are more valuable to us than the sacrifice of the cross. And I love God's answer to this man. He says, "You fool, this night your life is being demanded of you." So all those things that we treasure and hold on to, who gets them? What was the sense of not being generous to God because we wanted this stuff? My favorite My favorite meme is the one of the hearse, and attached to the hearse is a U-Haul truck. And it says, yes, you can take it with you. No, we can't take it with us. And when we have a God who is so generous to us, that we now can give that generosity out, that it can flow, God's generosity can flow through us into the world. Why do we have to hold on to it? Why do we have to grab and hold on to the things of this world as if those are the things that make us important, that make us special, that we're only loved if we have the right square footage in our house, that we're only loved if we have the right washer and dryer, that we're only loved if we have the right vehicle, that we're only loved if we have the right name brand on our body or on our feet, or carry the right backpack with the right label. Our value was determined at the moment of our birth, when we were beloved children of God. And then we were given gifts. We were given gifts not to hold on to them. If there's a bounty in our garden, that bounty's for us to share. If there's a bounty of funds in our lives that we can seed other things with, we share. Holding on to that which is a gift from God allows the gift to rot. Have you ever opened up those boxes that you've had in your attic? And then the smell of the mold or the mildew wafts out and you go, oh, I haven't been in that box in a while. I've done that with books, and it's a shame that the books were hanging out in my attic and not in some library. You know, we're given, brothers and sisters, we're given so much in this world. And the world needs so much to receive what God has given us. I don't know about you, but the news these past few weeks has not been pretty news. And how we behaved has not been pretty either. There can be hoarding or being greedy about social media. Being greedy about, and then being greedy about sharing things we shouldn't share on social media. To the point that we poison our hearts. We don't just poison the hearts that we share it out to, but we poison our own hearts. And then those who are broken and vulnerable don't have community to know about love, don't have community to embrace them, don't have community to say, you are of sacred worth. Instead, that sense of worthlessness ends up spilling out into the world in ways of violence. The brokenness breaks upon all of us. We don't need to build bigger treasure barns. What we need to build is communities where people know they are the treasure. We need to build those places of safety and sanctuary. We need people to know what this table represents and means to us and to them. When Christ sat around that table, on one side of him was the man who would betray him. Gathered around that table was the man who would deny him. And he knew they would all desert him. But what did he do at that table? He told them, take, this is my body which is given for you. Drink, this is my blood that will be shed for you. And then he said, for many, so that they may know forgiveness of sins. And then weeks later, there at the lake shore, he gathered again with his disciples, and he said to Peter, who was so broken from denying him, he asked him that question, do you love me? And Peter says, "Yes, I do." And he says, "Feed my sheep." The way we express our love for the one who loves us in all our brokenness is to love the world that he loves. We remember his sacrifice here, but we also remember as the body of Christ each time we gather here. This is what we call a means of grace. You don't have to feel like you have to be worthy to receive, because we will never be worthy enough. It's because he loves us that we are invited to this table. It's because God loves us that God wants us to receive this gift of grace. We come because we are unworthy. We come because it's a table of grace. We come because it's at this table that we remember that we are beloved. We can store up lots of things. We can store up memories. We can store up trinkets. We can store up little pieces of glass or gold or shells from a beach or rocks from a mountain. Or if you're Leo Roy, T-shirts from every place you stopped at and stopped again. We can store them all. But what we're called to do, we're called to give. We're called to give as Christ gives. We're called to love as Christ loves. We're called to call into this community those who need to know that they are loved. We're also called to love ourselves enough to say, stop. Maybe it's time to put down your phone. Maybe it's time to get off Fortnite. Maybe it's time to spend some time with those who love us so that we can experience the human touch of love. We can build larger barns and we can store up all our grains and goods. But we might want to wonder who sat at this man's table. Did he eat alone? Well, we're coming to a table where we're never alone, because Christ is the one who invites us to the table. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.